You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we are here for you on this Friday episode following a big win over the Sacramento Kings, 126-120. Boston Celtics come back off their road trip and handle their business. Although it was a little dicey, wasn't pretty the whole time, but they did what they had to do, and they beat the Kings, 126-120. We are the Rain and Jays. We're going to talk about this. I am John Corrales. I'm a beat writer covering the team for MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard the Third, also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam. All right, so we've got this was a weird one.
This game made no sense.
Yeah.
This game was an utter... It was cuckoo. It was craziness from Jump Street.
So before the game, everyone was very much in the, oh, no, that first game home from a bit long road trip, that's not a big deal. We don't have to think about that stuff. And then immediately afterwards, Brad Stevens referenced like, yeah, I think Marcus Morris is a little tired after that road trip. And Kyrie's in the locker room telling people to get sleep. And Kyrie in the scrum is telling people that, yeah, this first game back is a problem usually.
And it certainly looked like it in the first quarter because the Celtics gave up 38 points. They were lethargic. It was bad. And I was immediately ready to be like, oh. Yeah, it was first game back. Built an excuse.
Yep. Well,
Kings are a young hustle team. It's like transition defense, all the things. It was immediately just like I'd accepted the loss already after the first quarter. One, because of that building excuse, and two, because of the Celtics, the way they've played this year, they've been pretty good at coming back from being down 20 points, but they haven't been great at like coming back to win those games.
Right.
And so the Celtics team has one that is folded in the face of adversity, and so it was nice to see them respond. And kind of get back into this game. But that was all just in the start of the third quarter. Then he immediately gave up like a 16-2 run. Then there was another run. The second half was bananas as well.
That yeah, let's big picture here. The positive spin is this was a game that was always going to be problematic. They managed to fight through it. In a game that most teams struggle with, just like, and how many times I said like three podcasts ago, warning people about this game, because just like the Golden State game, when the Golden State Warriors had no fight and didn't give the Celtics their A game and they got destroyed, same situation coming back from an East Coast swing. So on the positive side, they fought through it. Brad Stevens has talked about they don't usually come together, they don't usually stay in the moment, they don't usually get past things, and in this game they stayed in the moment, they adjusted, they started attacking rather than launching every three that came available. They started, I don't want to say they started defending necessarily as much as
they had spurts of defense,
spurts of it. And I think Sacramento started missing, like they regret, like they shot 70% in the first quarter. That was obviously never going to withstand, that was never going to stand the test of the whole game. So,
but you're right, looking at the second quarter, the Kings were 0 for 6 from 3 and 10 of 22.
Yeah, so like some of this was Sacramento started missing. But to finish the positive thought is they did all the stuff that Brad has talked about. They moved on, they adjusted, they did what they had to do, and they ended up winning the game. So
they battled adversity in multiple ways in terms of being down big in the first quarter, kind of having that sustained effort in the second quarter, like, and then they gave it all up again and still managed to come back. And so that's the moment, that's the toughness that you're looking for in the Celtics. I thought in the second quarter, the Celtics just put their head down and got to the rim. They of the 31 points they scored, 26 were in the paint. I just thought Jason Tatum did a good job. Marcus Morris did a good job. And Kyrie, they were just getting what they wanted at the rim, and I thought they were not settling for three-pointers. They only shot 6 three-pointers in that quarter, which is, I guess, low for them. But compared to the first quarter, just the offense looked that much better. And you're right, they won that quarter by 7, but we're still down. But I just thought it was like a nice, sustained, all right, let's get back to the process. Let's do things the right way. And let's get to the free throw line. I thought they actually did a pretty solid job. Maybe not in that, less in that quarter, but just generally in the game of getting to the free throw line. And that was just putting your head down and getting to the rim. And it's something that we've seen the Celtics struggle with all year. But I thought they, like, when they needed to do it, they did it well, especially there in the second quarter.
26 free throws on the night for the Celtics, which feels like a lot for them.
Anytime over 20 feels like a lot.
That's a lot. So, obviously, the big hero of this game was Kyrie Irving, who had his second career triple-double, 31 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Not one of those empty triple-doubles. This was legit. Like, he went out and got these stats and earned all of them. He was the hero, I think. In the first quarter, Kyrie did his best work because that was the quarter where everybody sucked. And it was Kyrie keeping the Celtics at least within striking distance. And that was the big thing for me early. Like, I tweeted in the first quarter, after the first quarter, like, just they've just got to keep fighting. They've got to start attacking. And just eventually things are going to even out. But just keep it close until your shots start to fall and they start to miss. So I think Kyrie early on was the guy that that kind of kept them afloat. Let's see. In the first quarter, he had 10 points. So 10 of his 30 points came in the first quarter. So that was I think, maybe the key at the beginning, because he could have, if he had just been part of the launch every three brigade, then who knows how that first quarter would have gone and who knows how this game would have gone.
I agree that he was big in the first quarter, but I think his stretch in the fourth quarter was more impressive and is really like where he cemented this game. He had 7 points, 5 assists during the stretch, and he really, like, if you look at the play-by-play where the Celtics took a 1-point lead to a 12-point lead, it's pretty insane. Kyrie made floating shot. Marcus Morris driving layup, pass from Kyrie. Kyrie Irving turnaround fadeaway shot. Kyrie jump shot. Marcus Morris 3-point assisted by Kyrie Irving. Jaylen Brown assisted by Kyrie Irving. Al Horford alley-oop assisted by Kyrie Irving. He just took over the game. He was pretty unstoppable in the pick and roll, whether it was getting the basket. I mean, they were really just harassing Bielitsa and trying to get him in space whatsoever. And the Kyrie just was fantastic. He had the ball on a string, and when it was time to shoot, he scored. He made the kind of ridiculous Kyrie fadeaways we see. But also, I just think the passing there in the fourth quarter, spreading the ball around when clearly all the attention is going to be on him, it was extremely impressive. And you just look at that. It was seriously just him dominating the ball, either making the right pass or making the shot. And they went from a 1-point lead to a 12-point lead. They almost, like, it came back down to earth kind of towards the end as the Kings made a last-ditch effort. But that's when I really think the game was put away, was that stretch from 6 minutes to about 3 minutes left in the game.
Right. Where the game was close, and Kyrie took over. That was a very impressive late takeover. And, I mean, that's Kyrie doing what Kyrie does. Two guys that really need some discussing here, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris, who both had 20-point games. Marcus Morris had a double-double. We're going to talk about that when we come back. First of all, I just want to remind people, if you've got a smart car, smart device, whatever it is, ask it to wake it up and ask it to play Locked On Celtics, and it will do that. Play podcast Locked On Celtics, and it will do that. You don't have to pick up your phone or whatever fumbling around in the car. So make sure you're doing that in the car, and make sure you're sticking around for more Locked On Celtics. Marcus Morris had 21 points, 13 rebounds on 7 of 15 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3. Now, that seems like a really good game. If you just look back, and I mean, he was a minus 7, but if you look back and you didn't watch this game, you say, oh, look, Mook broke out of it. This is pretty nice. But in the first quarter, it was not that at all. In the first quarter, Marcus Morris was 0 of 3, 0 of 2 from 3. He also continued that bad shooting in the second quarter where he was 1 of 3 from 3 and 3 of 7. Although, however, the 3 of 7 included a late stretch, Marcus Morris playing the entire second quarter, where he started to actually attack. And I think him attacking broke him a little bit out of that slump. In the second quarter, he hit both the threes that he took, but he was attacking. He was getting to the rim. He took free throws. He dunked on people, which may be a precursor. I don't know if it's a candidate for the jam, which jam of the game.
It might be. It might be.
But Marcus Morris finally started attacking, and especially against the Kings. The Kings have a bad perimeter defense. They allow teams to get to the rim at will. They're a great young team. They're fun. They're fast. They're all that stuff. But they're not a playoff team, and part of why they're not a playoff team is because they have a very porous perimeter defense. And we saw it early where Kyrie was attacking, and that's why everybody on press row was just begging, like, attack, attack, attack. And Marcus Morris started to turn the game around when he started attacking, and that's why he was able to pile up a nice double-double there.
I also thought the rebounds part of that double-double was huge. The Kings play are a pretty big team with Willie Cauley-Stein. Marvin Bagley is just ginormous. But Harry Giles, they're just a big team. And for him to pull down 13 rebounds, I thought was impressive. But you're right. Him attacking, it felt like it opened up a thing. And it kind of got him in rhythm where you actually trusted him to knock down three-pointers. And I'm going to give credit to Tom Westerholm for revealing he came home. Marcus Morris Sr. saw Marcus Morris Jr.
Yep.
And that helped out with a shot, clearly. But I thought he just had a very solid performance. I don't think he was like December Mook, but he was like January Mook. like back to the normal. He's been pretty below average recently, but I think he had a solid game. And that's exactly, like, at this point, we don't need him to be 45% Mook. We just need him to be like a solid contributor. And I thought tonight that's exactly what he was.
Yeah. And I think it's important. This really, the important lesson for me here is when you are a shooter who is in a slump and you can attack the basket and see the ball go through and start scoring and get your confidence up, especially if you can get some free throws, you can start burying some free throws. That's how you get back on track. As much as we love the story about him and Mook Jr., I don't think seeing your kid is the answer to your shooting woes. Although
strong disagree, but
it
continue.
It doesn't hurt, but getting out there and attacking and scoring and getting buckets, because you are a scorer, Marcus Morris is a scorer, going and getting those buckets and getting a few points on the board and then stepping out and shooting, that was perfect. There was a point in the first half where, I think it was in the second quarter, where it was a transition opportunity and he stepped into a three. It was nice in-rhythm shot, but it was like 20 seconds on the shot clock.
The Celtics were making a run. They had some momentum, and it wasn't the right shot.
It wasn't the right shot. All you got to do is attack in those situations. Keep putting the pressure on the defense. Draw the fouls. Then, and we'll transition into Jaylen Brown. When Jaylen Brown hit the first of his threes in the third quarter to make that run, where he helped recover from that 16-2 run that Sacramento went on, he made a move under the basket that he could have tried to finish because he had a nice spin move, and everybody went, ooh. And he could have gotten caught up in the moment, but he gave the ball up, replaced, went to a different spot on the floor, got the ball back, and then hit the three. So going back to Marcus Morris, when you're stepping into that shot right there, even though you were open, there was nobody in front of you. Just keep going. And even if you have to pass it up, either you get the assist or you keep moving around. You get to that corner. You get to that other wing. The ball moves around, and you are spotting up, ready to catch and shoot for three. So we get to see a little bit more of that from Marcus Morris, and now we transition to Jaylen Brown.
One last point on Marcus Morris. I just think we talk about him shooting threes better late, but I still think he did a great job of attacking when he had the chance of getting to the rim. One of those great Kyrie Irving plays I talked about earlier, they blitzed hard. Like, he was going at Bielitsa. They blitzed hard, and the ball swung to Morris, who had an open shot. But he attacked the closeout and actually ended up with an and one. And so he only took one three in the fourth quarter. He ended up making it, but he still had that opportunity. And we've seen him get a little three heavy, but still late, he did what we are heaping all this praise on him for, which was still attacking the basket. Now.
Yeah. Now.
The return of downtown Jaylen Brown. Man, those three threes were huge. So that was the loudest I've seen or I've heard the Garden be in a while. Louder than some of the sounds we're hearing right now. But that third quarter, it was damn impressive. His three-point shooting has certainly come along, but that's after Buddy Hield, who is ridiculous, who knew that guy could just shoot the lights out of the ball. But that third quarter, the Celtics were down by 12 with 3 minutes left, and basically Jaylen Brown just put the team on his back and had 9 points. I think it's only 9 points of the quarter, but they were huge shots, just absolutely huge shots, all just and great plays, like you mentioned, with him moving without the ball. But he basically single-handedly brought this team back when they were down by 12 points with 3 minutes left. He was phenomenal. And that's just not – it wasn't just those threes, because he was 9 of 16 for tonight and finished with 22. So he had six other solid shots where he's – he seems to be in a very good rhythm right now, which is a good sign as the Celtics head into the playoffs.
Yeah, that followed this ridiculous stretch. So I felt like in the third quarter, I thought the Celtics were going to have a tough time coming back, because they had made their run. It was like a 9-1 run. They got it to 65-64.
They were up one.
Yeah, they were up one. And then Buddy Hield went bonkers. And it was just – they were up one to down 13 in the course of 2.5 minutes. They were up one with 10:01 on the clock. They were down 13 with 7:32 on the clock. You have to almost intentionally assist the other team.
And they pretty much did.
They
pretty much just missed shots and left Buddy Hield wide open. But
that was the defense at its worst. But that's where – Kyrie started it, and then Jaylen Brown, that first one where he got the pass from Gordon Hayward, where he made it a 4-point game. Then over the span of a minute and a half, a 3-pointer to cut it to one, and then another 3-pointer to make it a 2-point game. I mean, that was just Jaylen Brown catching fire, but because he was playing the right way, giving the ball up, and then getting himself to a good spot to catch and shoot in a good rhythm rather than force things. And the Celtics, when they're at their worst offensively, tend to force those shots rather than get that good ball movement. So good on Jaylen Brown for catching fire, and good on the Celtics offense for finding, because all of those were assisted.
All those were assisted. And if you look at the kind of final four threes that they made, two assisted by Gordon Hayward, two by Al Horford, and that's just kind of when the Celtics offense is at its best. Al Horford had some great passes across the entire court to find an open Jaylen Brown. But I want to shout out Hayward there at the end of that quarter. He got a foul called on him, De'Aaron Fox, who kind of, I think he stuck his leg out and drew the foul, and Hayward was pissed off.
Yeah.
And he basically caught the ball and with 4 seconds left, drove to the lane. He thought he got fouled again, but then he kind of took that anger and that aggression into the fourth quarter, and he didn't have the greatest game in terms of his final numbers, but he did score 6 points in the fourth quarter, got to the line three times. I just thought he needs to be that angry every game. I tried to ask him about it after the game. He tried to downplay it, I think mostly because I framed the question, how pissed off were you at the refs? And he was just like, I'm not trying to get fined.
Yeah.
But... I thought he like clearly when he's going and looking to score at the rim and playing with that aggression, he's so much better. And so I just think he played a very solid end of the third and start of the fourth quarter. Deserves credit for that. Also, how many assists did he finish with? Because I think he just
Hayward?
Did, yes.
Hayward finished with four assists.
Yeah, it's a solid performance from him. That's and that, like we're not even it's what you mentioned. We need like 15 5 and 5 from him. And that's pretty much what he did tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
not actually in terms of the numbers, but in terms of the impact. It was a 15 5 and 5 type of impact.
The fourth quarter, the second half would have been if he had done that the entire game.
It would have been 15 5 and 5.
It would have been that type of impact.
His
yes.
per 36 15 5 and 5 impact was phenomenal.
Quick shout outs before we move on to the final segment here. What's up, you CLNS punks? Keep on moving.
Keep deleting my dab gifts from the internet.
Taking turns interrupting each other's shows. Shout out to the Time Lord coming in.
Time Lord, huge minutes tonight.
6.5 minutes. Big, because they needed to play Horford and Baines together. And the only way to do that, because Baines is still, I think, on the minutes restriction.
And Baines was a little bit in foul trouble, a little bit of a fisticuffs with Harry Giles.
Yeah, he was...
I'm shocked they rescinded that tech because Baines just slapped the ball out of his hand and then
that was weird.
Body checked him. And I didn't know you could rescind a tech.
That was weird. I don't think you can.
But Tony Brothers plays by his own rules.
Right. Right. Because that there was a tech absolutely given. There was a tech given. And
full whistle, full like T symbol.
Everything. And I don't know if it was a double tech. Because the other tech was on Giles.
That would have ejected him.
Would have ejected Giles. And I don't think they wanted to eject Giles on that. So they just ignored that technical foul was even called. I didn't know that you could do that. And I'm kind of curious as to whether the league will mention that or refer to that. I don't know.
Just wait for the final 3-minute report of the third quarter.
Yeah, we'll see. So, but shout out to... the Time Lord for some good minutes there.
He was guarding Buddy Hield once on the perimeter, and I really wanted one of those sweet Time Lord 3-point blocks. It didn't happen. Buddy Hield just made it because he's a magician.
But he had a great steal down here.
He did with a great length.
Yep. I also finished off a play down low from Al Horford.
Yeah, big dunk. I don't think it's a witch jam dunk, jam witch dunk, but he did have a dunk. I want to give a shout out to Jason Tatum. Modest 15 points tonight, but. In the first half, I think he was really the guy who was taking it to the rim and just anytime he had Willie Cauley-Stein on him. We've seen him struggle. I feel like how many times have you seen Tatum just like get a bigger guy on him and then back the ball out and then kind of settle for that mid-range jump shot? I thought he put his head down and he had that one great spin move in the corner over here. But I just thought he was at had a solid performance. It wasn't like one of those star Jason Tatum performances. He missed all his threes, but 7 of 10, it's a pretty efficient night for 15 points. I just thought he was just a solid contributor and a nice team win.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the points here. What do we have? 6 guys in double figures. Kyrie had 31. You had a couple of other 20-point games. So not a lot of points to go around after that, but 15 from Tatum, 12 from Horford, 10 from Hayward. So, I mean, just a nice – spread out. I mean, you score 126 points. There's a lot of people who are going to score, but nice distribution there. Yeah, Tatum's going to. This is going to kind of float under the radar, but a solid 15 point game for him. I agree.
And he dropped Buddy Hield with a dope ass crossover in the fourth quarter. His only bucket of the fourth quarter, but it was a cool one. So points for that.
Cool buckets are great.
They're better than not cool buckets. I've always said that.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with tweets. And the Jam Witch. Which jam of the game? I'm getting used to this thing. Before we go, I want to remind everybody that the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is, of course, the greatest betting event of the year. People laying all kinds of money down, and whether you're filling out a bracket, picking the national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson, who returned... in Kyrie's tonight to action. Will he and his teammates at Duke cement their legacy with a title?
I think so, because every single tweet I saw tonight was just like, Zion Williams is the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, people going nuts for Zion. again, playing in those Kyries. Woo! Can Virginia get past its 16th? It's lost to a 16 seed last year. And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you do not, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even for the multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business, and the best part is they pay out fast when you win. That's 48 hours fast, so no waiting around for your money when you get these things right. Bet with the best, and then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. Free money! 50% sign-up bonus on MyBookie with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's run through some of these tweets. We ask you to send your tweets in via the hashtag on Twitter, Rainin' Jays or Rainin' Junk. I'll handle the Rainin' Jays because I'm the more serious of the two of
You're
us
You're a
here.
Beat reporter. I just have two names jam. Two names jam is a good name for a jam band.
Two names jam. I like that.
I'm an idiot.
I like the early MOOC tweets. Like from at Celtics Hub 24/7 and from AG Freeman. Only the first quarter, but Mook still broke. Mook maybe needs to take a vacation for a bit. The first quarter, he did look broken, but that's...
I bet he saw his son in the hallway in the during the halftime.
There you go. Funky Celtics, at Funky underscore Celtics. How do we get Morris to shoot less? But things turn around, and that's why you do not overreact and take him out. And that's why you don't overreact and bench him. You can reduce his minutes, and we've seen a little bit of reduction in his minutes. But when you know what the guy brings on a regular basis, you can't overreact to these streaks. And maybe, just maybe, him coming in here and having a game like this could be something that turns him around. And if you'd benched him, then what? Then you just have a big pile of, you know, no confidence going out there. So this is the NBA. The NBA is a long slog of games, 82 of them over many, many months. And you just can't have these overreactions like you would in college or in high school. This is different. So this is why you stick with him and you try to figure it out.
I agree. You got to have faith in Mook. He's one of your rotation guys. You can't just bench a rotation guy
right.
or cut his minutes before the playoffs. You need them all being – as confident as they can be.
Back to A.G. Freeman. The Celtics are working hard to dig themselves out of a hole of their own making. That's a good sign, right?
Yes.
It is a good sign.
It's better than not digging themselves out of a hole that they didn't make.
No, no. Dig up, stupid.
Up.
At Maddie B. 0814. Aggressive Gordon makes it move.
I had a lot of, I feel like, mentions tonight just talking about erotic city and aggressive Gordon Hayward. So, agree.
Mildly erotic village alert from Joey Angus 11. At Robert Denton, we did a lot of baloney offense. Watch your mouth. Even in the fourth at 8:50 when Brown jacked an ISO 2 instead of making a second pass.
That is a nitpick.
Picking nits. Although I will say that the Celtics did kind of think the game was over like a couple minutes too early.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, they gave up that dunk to
Willie Cauley-Stein. Who's a solid player. Both games against the Kings.
Gigantic human
who just like moves well.
Solid player.
Sets picks, nice rolling the rim. I think I thought he was going to be pretty good coming out of college, and then he kind of disappointed maybe because he just languished in Kingland. But I think I've been pretty impressed with him in both games against the Kings.
Brad was pissed after that dunk, and then because the Celtics were still – they were only up six with like 30 seconds to go or something like that. Plenty of time to like miss, and if – you know, with Buddy Hield, the way he's been shooting, Hield comes down, drills a three. Next thing you know, it's a three-point game with plenty of time left. Puts a lot of pressure on you. So
I thought the Kings waited too long to start fouling, but
yeah.
I'm not an NBA coach, so yeah. Who knows?
So, but that was a little bit that was a little bit daunting at the end. Brad wasn't happy, but all worked out. At Title City Boston, Michaela asks, why haven't we seen more Shemmy minutes with Tyson Rozier out? Thought we may see him a little bit tonight. We got Time Lord, but no Shemmy. We got Shemmy for like 2 minutes, and then
the problem is with. Like, Rozier and Tice don't play positions that Semi plays, so, like, them not being in the lineup doesn't really open itself up to Semi minutes. I thought we would get some more. We certainly got some when Tatum was out, but I don't know. He just feels like he's the next guy. Like, they have a lot of wings. The Celtics team is like, you would want basically be asking him to play over Tatum, Morris, Jaylen Brown, or Hayward, or Marcus Smart, and it's just they run five deep with wings, so it's kind of hard for Shemmy to get in the game.
Right. You know, I mean, he's there for in case there's foul trouble or injury or something like that. He got out there a little bit. He's useful in some situations, but against this team, especially when they threw out all those giants out there, they're so athletic and they're so tall that even with Shemmy's combat muscles, they just go right over the top of him. So
he almost got a club trillion tonight, but he did record one foul. So he did end up in the stat sheet.
Oh, damn. Well, and he also ended up in the weight room after the game.
Well, I was going to save it for reading junk, but it was deafening. It was Shemmy just pounding a medicine ball against a wall. And I saw from Taylor Snow, who works for the Celtics reporter, he apparently came out of the weight room after the game. He was wearing a weighted vest. So not only was he doing that in a super intense workout, he was just doing it with a weighted vest on. I saw the Celtics trainer who was like working with him. That guy was covered in sweat. Yeah. That guy just went through the hardest workout he's ever seen. And that's what he does after every game. He's cut from a different cloth.
I wonder if the trainers sit there and be like, please play Shemmy. I do not feel like going through this again.
I feel like if you're the trainer who volunteered, like, it's probably the best workout plan there is. He's going
to
pull you to greatness.
Out.
Yeah, you just
you're
have
just
to.
Just on the Shemmy plan.
Yeah.
Let's see. At Bill Bradbury. Is it me, or are there frequently times when there's an uncovered man streaking to the hoop for two? Happens in every game, it seems.
It did happen a lot, especially in the first half. I thought Hayward lost guys a couple of times. There was a couple of plays where just like they should not be getting this easy dunks. So, yes, correct observation, Bill Brasky.
Yes. yeah, the Celtics pick and roll defense still has to be cleaned up a lot. So we'll leave it at that. Okay, Rain and Junk.
Rain and Junk from Big Boston B. I'm getting blacked out for League Pass Celtics game. Is there a way around this living in Boston? Yes, it's called reddit.com/r/NBA streams. It's illegal, but you can watch all the NBA games you'd like to. You didn't hear it from me.
What? I did not hear anything you just said.
This is from Celtics Took a Man Argentina, Tatum and Fox talking about headbands. Fox's wears a real cool long headband.
I like those.
Do you play Street Fighter as a child?
I did.
You know when, like, the winning screen, once Ryu won, it would be like him with his arms folded. And he's like, you cannot defeat my Shaolin style. And his headband would be floating in the wind. That's what Fox looks like at all times.
I think those are super cool. There's only a few guys in the league that can get away with that. And
it helps when you're incredibly fast.
Yes. Yeah, when that thing can kind of, like, blow in the wind behind you. Like him, Montrezl Harrell, there's a few other guys who wear that.
It's a good
cool
look.
Look.
I'm glad
that the NBA allows that. I like that.
This is from Matt Joey Angus. Robert needs to give the rest of the Celtics a jumping lesson. Man, the guy loves jumping.
He
what can I say?
He loves jumping.
This is from T Foxy 3. Corey Brewer looks like Gumby. I just like that.
I'm Corey Brewer. Damn it.
This is from
that's an old joke.
Katie
Man,
Bates. Hooch always bleed green. When Mike Gorman is complaining about the refs and agreeing with Tommy about the bad calls, you know the refs should be ashamed. Sloppy game.
Yeah.
Sloppy, weird game. I wasn't a fan of it, but it's what happens when you get Tony Brothers. another picture of Jaylen Brown wearing his cool pink beanie. This is from Travis Lewis.
Oh, cool.
That's a nice visual for the podcast. at Scroteberg, make no mistake, this game hinged on the Smurf kip-up. I'm going to say I called it at the time. The Celtics were down 10, 80-70. Smart fell down, immediately did a kip up, and I tweeted, rally kip up. And they scored the next 50 out of 75 points scored in the game. And so it was pretty obvious to those with two eyes and a soul what was going on.
Yes. Jeez, I feel like I missed an opportunity there because we had Marcus Smart just sitting there in the corner and
we should have asked him about
chatting him up about various things that were off the record, but like should have asked him about the kip up on the record.
Another kip up tweet from Commodore Matt Decker. Smart kip, Time Lord, and Asshole Gordon. We ride at dawn. Okay, this is Joey Angus. We'll get to that later because it involves the next segment. So, Cody Kennedy at President Kenny. Who is Al Horford's favorite wrestler of all time? I bet it's CM Punk. I bet it's Britt the Hitman Hart. I firmly believe.
Just leave it at that for no explanation.
He does sure. The sharpshooter.
Sure.
Sir Tatum at Tatum Sir. I firmly believe that Brad putting Time Lord in the game was the turning point. Crowd went nuts for him and then got them re-energized, which transferred their own energy on the floor. The crowd was pretty juiced, but we can't give credit to the Time Lord and the Smurf kip up. I have to choose one, and I'm choosing the kip up. And then Haladi, our friend from Poland, the great meme machine, asked us to debate the Pistons pie jerseys. You loved them. I was not a fan. Discuss.
I enjoyed that. I thought it was clever.
Oh, it's clever. It's not mathematically accurate because pie is an infinite number.
Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to get laid in college.
I was a math major in college until I got to linear algebra and I quit because it was difficult.
I hate math. Numbers frighten me. Yet I thought pie, P-I, as part of the Pistons, was clever and amusing. And I found it in a league where jersey creativity is at a minimum here, finding a cool little clever way to include pie on Pi Day, March 14th, was
actually
clever.
That is inaccurate because pie goes on forever. Unless you calculate down to the exact seconds. I'm just being an asshole. I thought it was a cool jersey.
Okay.
But Joey Angus, as a fellow jam, jams jam which jam of the game has to be Robert's dunk that kept the Celtics soul going during the third quarter? Jam hashtag jam which jam of the game. Incorrect. I'm going to have to disagree there, but it is time to present the jam which jam of the game, fingers crossed, soon to be presented by Welch's, creator of the wonderful PB and Jam Witch. The which jam of the game goes to Marcus Morris Sr., and it wasn't really his dunk at all. It was a Kyrie driving layup jump spin pass to Marcus Morris, who dunked it in. I thought it was the coolest play of the game, so that is the jam which jam of the game. Please, at Welch's, if you would like them to sponsor the podcast. I don't even need to get paid. I just want more jamwiches. Other also receiving votes, Kyrie alley-oop to Al Horford, but I think that Mook dunk had to do it.
I agree, because that was at a pretty like cool time, too. Like, the crowd was nuts. I agree. I agree with which jam you chose.
Right on. All right, rest of the junk drawer. Bogdan Bogdanovich looks like he's 17 years old.
He does. And
he loves shooting, man. You know, there's a famous thing on the internet, you know, a meme or a joke of people, women do be shopping. And I thought, you know, Bogdan do be shooting. That was what I compared it to. Already have the Jamwich. Tatum with a nice spin move, already mentioned. There was one play that was hilarious, only because they won, but pick and roll, Baines the roll man, catches it, no one between him and the basket. And instead of just turning and dunking the ball, he threw it out for Mook for an open three, which he missed, which was absolutely absurd. Oh, I saw wild jerseys tonight. I saw a guy in a Mook jersey wearing a green wig. A few rows behind him, it was someone wearing a Terry Rozier III jersey backwards. So Rozier III was on the front.
Nice.
And then I saw an Aaron Baines black baseball jersey.
Huh.
46. It didn't say Baines, but I'm just assuming it 46. It was kind of weird, but I liked it. I'm all for the weirder jerseys.
I like crossover jerseys. I like basketball player names on baseball jerseys.
Yeah.
Basically because I think it's more appropriate to wear a baseball jersey. It's almost like a button-down shirt.
Yeah, it is. Some of them actually have buttons. Nothing better than fat guys dancing. Already mentioned the rally kip-up. Time Lord Buzz, we talked about Hayward and Tony Brothers kind of having beef. Hayward basically channeling his inner Matt online when he picked up those fouls. Here's something I caught a lot of slack for after the game. Fans were giving Kyrie an MVP chant with like 30 seconds left. And yeah. I tweeted out, you can't do MVP chants for a 5 seed. And people were like, boo. Jam Packard, imagine him being the fun police. And you know what? It's just, it's one of the things that bugs me. I think fans are a little too quick to do the MVP chant, but I understand it's fun. You want to credit your guy, but I think there should just be like, you have been really good tonight. That'd be a better chant, in my opinion, because you can't have an MVP.
Doesn't
for
roll
five
off the
seed.
Tongue the same way.
Yeah, we're still working on it.
I approve.
That's a good one. After the game, so Kyrie just had his second career triple double.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens, no questions. Not even any questions about Kyrie.
No.
After the game, Kyrie not asked about it. Adam Himmelsbach tried, but Kyrie answered some other questions. His second career triple double, no one talks about it. Another crazy stat for tonight: Kyrie games with 30 points and 10 assists. He has 6 this season. The rest of his career, he had 5.
Wow!
Isn't that wild? Is it just he clearly just didn't have
passing
the assist.
A lot more.
Yeah, his passing has been fantastic. But I just thought,
think about the situation he's been in. I mean, he's been on teams where LeBron does a bulk of the ball handling, so he played a lot off ball, or you know, his only assists would go to LeBron, and LeBron would get the assists. Or second, I'm sure Kyrie's secondary assists in Cleveland were pretty high. So, but yeah, he's on a team right now with a bunch of guys that can finish shots. So.
I think it was just nice of reporters to respect his hatred for base 10. Round numbers are the devil.
Sure.
After the game, there was an NBC Sports Boston in an interview with Al Horford, and then they tweeted out a screen cap of it and said, "Team Gorgeous Eyes." And I feel like I invented that. Am I crazy? Am I like, I mean, it's pretty obvious. The man has gorgeous eyes.
Those eyes, like, his whole life.
But was I the first one to start calling him gorgeous? I started having this, like, existential crisis. Like, should I take credit for that? Like, I probably shouldn't, because it's the internet and you just look like an asshole for taking credit for that. But I feel like that's my thing. I was the first one to call him gorgeous.
I don't think you were the first, but you've certainly been the most adamant.
I just want credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
He's got great eyes. I'm just trying to give credit to his gorgeous eyes.
I don't think that anybody is going to, like, overlook your...
I don't think I invented it, but I don't think it would be on NBC Sports Boston's Twitter page if it wasn't for me. Can I go there?
Maybe. I mean, you're certainly like you have amplified that message quite a lot.
All right, I'll take that.
You say it a lot.
He's got gorgeous eyes. And then finally tonight, Kyrie was talking about the kind of the Russell Westbrook situation after the game, and one of the things he said was like, "How would you like it if I came to your office and started yelling at your ear?" And I thought, that would be awesome. If Kyrie just came on down, I'm trying to, like, code some criminal justice data, do some, like, analysis, merge some data sets, and he's just screaming in my face, calling me a bum.
Yeah.
That's good old-fashioned fun for the whole family.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah, I think that'd be great.
So please, Kyrie, come on down.
I encourage him to do that.
I'm in the back bay. I'm pretty convenient. Anytime you want. Really, just surprise me. Any junk from you?
No, the only junk that I have is that I'm amused sitting here watching you go through your notes and just stream of consciousness go, oh, I talked about that.
And that's when the junk drawer's at its best, is when it's just minimal thinking.
Yeah, no, that's it. I got no other junk other than I'm happy to be home, and it's nice to be podcasting from the garden and here right now with the lights kind of off, and there's this like yellowish tinge to the building is my favorite time. Because it is just so calm and peaceful, and I love it here. That's my junk, and it's not really junk. It's just a comment. Okay. On that note, we're going to wrap up the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this. Happy Friday, everybody. Celebrate this win. Celtics beating the Kings 126-120. And then now we're off to Saturday, an afternoon game. 12:30? It's Atlanta, right?
It's another built-in excuse too early.
12:30 game. Like, that's it's one of those ABC deals.
What
I
is
think.
This? That's... Center for Ants?
What? I don't get that reference.
It's from the Zoolander movie.
Oh.
They build him a replica of the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good, and he doesn't get it. It's a replica. He thinks it's the actual center, and he asks, what is this? A center for ants.
Aha. Gotcha. I don't even know how that makes sense. But it doesn't matter. We don't have to make sense right now. Celtics win. We'll talk about that Hawks game this weekend for the Monday show. So all you new listeners, thanks for listening. Hope you have enjoyed this podcast enough to subscribe. You regulars, please, 5-star rating, good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics. Millies. A little added energy.
I forgot a junk moment. It was when they were playing the segment. It was Marcus Smart versus Kyrie, who can guess 1,000 miles. Well, we all knew Kyrie was going to get it, but he got it in 3 seconds. But the thing that was hilarious about it is Marcus knew it, but then he just kind of like raised his hands in the air like he was a stoned hippie at like Woodstock, like floating to it. And that's how he finally like triggered his memory for I Remember 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. So I'm sorry I missed that, folks.